Father, we thank you for a great day, a great time of refreshing. Your mercies are new every morning, and we receive them now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to start talking with you in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3. I really thought this was a great insight in some of our problems today. Why are we having issues? How can we get freed from some of our situations and problems? And I believe this is going to be a great chapter to help you do that. So let's start with chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. I want to stop there for just a minute. The Lord God made the serpent. Now, think about it here. If the serpent is evil, did God create evil? That's not what it's saying. It's saying that God made the serpent. It was the serpent's choice to become evil, because the serpent is the devil himself that was cast out of heaven because he usurped his authority over the Lord God. He sinned in heaven. Can you believe that? He sinned in heaven, was cast out. So, though God created him a perfect, beautiful angel, angelic being who led worship in heaven, who was close to him, was like Judas to God, you know? Judas betrayed Jesus. Well, Satan betrayed God. And so now he's on the earth. So God didn't create the evil in him. He did create the creature, though. So it says that the Lord God created the serpent. And he said to the woman, "Has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman began to speak back, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat, either touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." And here's where it gets into verse 5. "For God does know that in the day you eat, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So the serpent was put in the garden by God. God knew what the serpent was going to do. God knew what the serpent was going to tempt Adam and Eve with. See, that's not the problem. That was never the problem. The temptation's going to come. Even Jesus was tempted, okay? He was tempted, he was tried, but he didn't fall into it. Adam and Eve, on the other hand, are falling right into the enemy's hands by agreeing with them in their thoughts. Isn't that true? You know, this is Eve speaking to herself. "I really would like to eat that tree. Might as well, because it looks so good." Because it goes on to say, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes." See, she never even looked at the tree until the serpent brought her attention to the tree. Because she basically said, "I'm not even going to worry about that tree. It's over there. Okay, whatever." But the serpent brought it into her focus, into her line of sight. You know, most of our temptations come by our sight. All right? Isn't that true? People who watch pornography is through sight. They're tempted through sight. People who see things that draw them in is by sight. You know, I have a blind friend who isn't tempted by sight because you can't see. So inside her darkness, she's in the closet with the Lord every single minute of the day. I think more of us should be in our closet more in our heart and not see those things that are blinding us from the truth, that are causing us to be, pulled away from what God wants for our lives. You know, what are we watching today on TV? What are we being drawn away by what we see? See, every day we have that tree of knowledge of good and evil set before us. We have a choice every single day of our lives to choose whether we're going to follow after the knowledge or after the good or the life. Because the knowledge of good and evil, it starts in our thinking, doesn't it? Now, I know that if I go that route, I'm going to fall into a pit. I know that in my mind, but what do? We walk right that way and we fall into a pit. So we have a choice to make. And see, this is the thing that God was getting at with Adam and Eve. It wasn't that they disobeyed and ate of the tree. Okay, that happened. But it's setting them up to make a choice. Now, they chose that to eat that. They disobeyed. But here's the where it hits pay dirt. It's in verse 9. Okay, here we go with verse 9. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Now, God knew where Adam was. He wasn't asking Adam because he didn't know. He knew, but he was asking Adam for Adam to tell him the truth. He gave Adam an opportunity to speak the truth to him. But what did Adam do? Now, this is where we get into trouble as well. When God asks you, "Where are you?" what is your response? So let's take a look and see what Adam says. And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And God said to him, "Who told you you were naked?" So somebody spoke to Adam's heart. Once Adam and Eve ate of that tree, the knowledge came into their spirit. The knowledge came into their thinking. It unblocked them to hear the negativity of the world. That's what we hear today as well. So who told you you were naked? They couldn't hear that voice before. They couldn't hear how stupid they were, how unworthy they were, how naked they were. They couldn't hear those things before. But once they ate the tree, it opened them to hear that ungodly knowledge. And he said to them, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree where I commanded you that you should not eat?" Now here's where it gets interesting. Adam responded incorrectly. If he would have responded a little differently, I think things would be different today. But he said, "The woman whom you gave me, she gave me the fruit and I ate it." Now, many times we have seen this passage as blaming Eve, you know, blaming others, blaming, you know, whatever. But you know what he's really blaming? He's blaming God. He's blaming God for giving him Eve. That is what I believe we are even doing today. We might not say, "I blame you, God," you know, outright. But when we blame anybody or anything, even ourselves, behind it all, we're blaming God. Now, what if this is a key to the knowledge that you need in your life that will change your life? It will change your health. It will change your relationships. It will change the way you live. It will change prosperity. It will change everything. What if that secret, unknowing, blaming God is the issue in your life today? See, if Adam would have said, "Here I am," when God says, "Where are you?" He, "Here I am," and jumps out of the bushes. "Here I am, God, here I am. Help, help, I'm so sorry." It would have been different. But instead, he goes, "Oh, no, Eve did it. Eve made me eat that tree, God. He, you know, the one that you gave me." Okay. So what are we saying to God today? Are we saying the same thing to God? "But God, you know, you're the one that gave me the job. You're the one that put me in this family. You're the one that gave me that husband. I heard you tell me to marry that man, and look at this now." You know, we've been blaming God since the days of Adam and Eve, all right? So now that we're living in a period of grace where Jesus has come to take away our sins, to reconcile us back to the Father, let's take opportunity of that. You know, let's say, "Here I am, here I am. Father, forgive me for blaming you, and Jesus will cleanse you of all sin." Let's be restored today. Let's just look at our hearts again. Let's take a look at our lives and say, "You know, that is me. Father, I have been blaming you. I've been thinking you've been withholding good from me." See, so that's what we have to come into grips with. It wasn't that you made a bad decision. It wasn't that you disobeyed God. It was what were you going to do with it after you did that? Were you going to say, "Well, you know, they made me say it"? You know, it reminds me one time, I remember, I have to tell you this funny story now. So my husband and I were going to the store, and about halfway down the driveway, I kind of had a little accident in my pants. And I looked at Tom and I go, "Oh my gosh, look what you did." And he looked at me and he goes, "You mean I made you crap your pants?" See, nobody can make you do anything. You're doing it to yourself. We blame people for the funniest and the most idiotic things. And all we have to say is, here I am. When God says, where are you? Here I am. Here I am, God. I'm sitting in this miry pit. Here I am. I got myself into this, Father. Forgive me. Show me how to get out. That's what we have to do. Instead of saying, well, you know, I went there and that wasn't happening for me. And then that person said that and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, went on and on. Wow, wow, wow. God does not want that. He wants the truth. He wants you to come to truth. Why? Because he wants your heart. That's all God's after, is your heart. That's all he wants, people, is your heart. If you can do that part, he's going to give you so much more. The very things that you're accusing and blaming and wanting and desiring are the things you're going to get because you finally come to the grips that you've got to take responsibility for where you are today. Where are you? Where you are today is where you put yourself. God did not put you there. The choices that you made got you where you are today. I have a friend in prison right now who is going to be serving a few more years for making some poor choices in his life. They were not good. They hurt other people's lives greatly. And so he's got to pay, right? He's got to pay that penalty for that choice he made. Sometimes the things that we have to go through is because God is giving us a little course correction. And then we get all mad at God. Well, don't get mad at God. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing me the truth. Thank you for helping me come to grips with my own heart. Thank you for helping me see the truth so I can repent and confess and come before you. Since I have that knowledge now of good and evil, I need to do something with it. And I want to make good choices. You know, the Bible says in Romans that a matured believer recognizes the difference between good and evil. Now that we are in this position to having to know good and evil because of what Adam and Eve did, now we can choose. See, God could have put the tree of life and the tree of life. He didn't. He gave us a choice. He gave Adam and Eve a choice to choose whom they're going to believe and whom they're going to serve and whom they're going to follow. And we have to ask ourselves the same question. Am I going to follow after what I see? Or am I going to go by what I know? The Bible says to walk by faith, not by sight. Because seeing can trip you up. Seeing can cause you to get tempted and go in the wrong direction. But if you can close your eyes for a moment and let your heart see, let your spirit see through the knowledge of the truth, you're going to be able to make better choices. I like that 10-second rule where before you open your mouth, take 10 seconds to think about it. I think we should go a little step further and close our eyes. Okay, close your eyes for 10 seconds and think and then respond. I think that's going to help us make better choices for our lives because we're not going to go by what we see. We're going to go by what we know in our heart. Well, thank you for tuning in today. I ran out of time. I hope to connect with you next time as we continue gleaning from the Word. God bless you.